cinephiles, fans, and welcome to a brand new series here on The Cinephiles. I am the outlaw, John Rocha, joined as always by my co-host on the show, Steve Morris. How are you, Steve?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I'm good. Can you feel the buzz? Da, 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 da. It is time for the Oscars, Steve, and something that we've spoken about and did a couple of years ago, which is a series of reviewing each of the films that have been nominated for Best Picture. We've decided to do that on the Cinephiles YouTube channel to try to get more people to subscribe to the channel. But also, this is a good place for these kinds of conversations to live because the Cinephiles is exclusively talking about great films and films that we love and films that have received a number of awards and awards recognition through the years, Steve. So it's very much on brand for us to move this series here. And today we're starting with our first of the 10 nominees that have been nominated for Best Picture, and that is Maestro, from writer-director Bradley Cooper, starring Bradley Cooper, Carey Mulligan, Sarah Silverman, and assorted other actors, depicting the life and romance of Leonard Bernstein and his wife here, Felicia Montalegre. So, Steve, are you excited to start this series on the Cinephiles, and are you excited to start with Maestro?
Well, first of all, I think this is a great year for movies. I really do. Mm-hmm. I think there's so many, you know, it's like people talk a lot about snubs and, oh, this got snubbed. People are very angry about it. It's like, you know what? When you have 5 incredible actor nominees or 10 incredible films nominated, they're not snubs. They're choices. Mm-hmm. They're very, you know what I mean? Like, it's like there are, it's because it always goes to, well, who am I going to kick out? And there are very few things to kick out, I feel, in this list. So I'm really excited to talk about it. I'm also excited because some movies that were not big Marvel IP movies did really well and got critically acclaimed. And maybe, just maybe, there's some hope of moving back to kind of the world of film that we grew up in, where Hollywood makes a whole bunch of different kinds of movies. So I'm excited about it.
Throughout the whole film, we get inundated with the work and the music and the compositions of Leonard Bernstein. Bradley Cooper, this was a passion project for many years. I think Carey Mulligan delivers the best performance of 2023. I know that she's not the odds-on favorite to win, but for me, I think she delivered an incredible performance in this film. So did Bradley Cooper. It goes over the course and decades of their relationship. We do get some moments with Leonard Bernstein's music and composing it, but really the focus, Steve, is on this relationship. And ironically, every scene that they're in together, I found electric and really enjoyed. But the problem with the film that kept it from me being a fully 100% supporter of the film are the gaps and jumps in time and the transitions into the new stages of the relationship that were missing from the movie, and we were just being told to go along with it. And I think this is where the film kind of falls apart a little bit for me. But overall, visually stunning, love the music, love the art and dedication and the true craftsmanship behind the making of this movie. What are your thoughts on Maestro?
I mean, I think they pretty much reflect what you're saying. I think, yes, performance is astounding. The look of the film, amazing, beautiful artistic choices. The use of the music is really powerful. And I think, I'm going to say a weird thing, which is that I think this is a great film, but I don't necessarily know that I will love it in the long term. And I don't know that it's a great story. Yeah. Like every scene I'm going, wow, there's so much here. It's so much to talk about. It's so well made. And I love that this is an artist. And I really do think Bradley Cooper, I think we need to give him more and more respect as a great artist. And I will include everything, including, you know, both his performances, but also Rocket Raccoon. Like the fact that the guy who directs this movie does one of the most moving characters in the MCU with a voice, I think it's important to pay attention to. So I think I'm glad that he made this film. I was watching some of it again this morning and continued to marvel at, like, wow, that's a really great scene. That is an amazing performance. All of those things are great. And I don't know. And it's funny, there's a comment that you made, so I want to give you full credit for this, is that it didn't focus enough, which I think was your point, on the music and on the career of this artist. Yeah. And it's not that the relationship story wasn't incredible. It was, but there was stuff that I was like, okay, I want to kind of understand his life more than I did, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think you're 100% correct in quoting what I said, because that is exactly how I feel. It's a 2-hour and 9-minute movie that really focused on the relationship, but I wanted to see more. And look, and this is where you walk the line a little bit. We go like, well, it's not, I didn't like it because it's not what I wanted it to be. No, it's not that. It's more a matter of like, for me to understand Leonard Bernstein and this relationship and Felicia's love of him, to sever seeing him come up with these incredible compositions and the time and effort and the energy it took so we could fall in love with him like Felicia falls in love with him, I thought that was a detriment of the movie. And it isn't that I didn't get the movie I wanted. It's more like logically looking at the movie, this is how you could have gotten it across to people who are watching the movie, why she fell in love with them the way that she did. Because we can clearly see from Leonard Bernstein's point of view why he fell in love with Felicia. We see Carrie do a number of things here that are really sweet and tender. Their chemistry comes through for sure. And we understand why he loves, like the way he's looking at her across the room, the way she handles herself with other people in front of him, the way she plays into their little games that they have when they're younger, when they're in their middle ages, and when they're older. All of it works really well. And I did get emotional at the end when she passes and his reaction to her passing. I was invested. But I would have loved to have seen more of this, because then we can understand why she loves him and we can feel his pain even more, that with all the things he's composed and created, it is this one relationship that is the thing that devastates him the most in his life. And I think it would have enriched the film even more. And I'm surprised that is a bit of a misstep for the film overall itself.
I feel like this is a movie, you know, this is a cinephile movie. Mm. And this is a movie 100%. Where yeah. I'm going to have to revisit this in 5 years and mm-hmm. maybe revisit it again in 10 years and yeah. see how it makes me feel. Because there is nothing, I have no major criticisms of this film.
Yeah.
There's no performance that's weak. Sarah Silverman's great. Like, everybody is great in the yeah. movie. Like, it looks incredible. Mm-hmm. Bradley Cooper, I think you're right. Carrie Mulligan's performance is in many ways the performance of the year. I think she's spectacular.
Yeah.
But what Bradley Cooper had to do to play that role, including musically,
yes.
like in particular, there's the scene where he does the you really see him conduct. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's yeah. full on.
Yeah.
And that is when you are the writer and director and producer of a piece and you have cast yourself, you have written a check that you're going to have to cash. You're saying, so I can pull this off. And yeah. he totally 100% does. Yeah. I think I remember now where I heard you make that comment, and which is that we were doing a cinephile short on musical biopics.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the structure of the musical biopic, and this movie doesn't fulfill that at all. But mm-hmm. and I think it's like the music is beautiful and we get to hear it,
right?
But it doesn't, but the music is not a character in the film.
Yeah.
That is the one piece that I think is missing, is that we don't see him working on West Side Story and connect his relationship and his personal life and what's going on there to the music that's coming out of him at that moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that. But everything else around it is so good. And in particular, and the other thing too, there's nothing like this movie. I've never seen this story. I've never seen, it's funny. I was thinking about it. I was like, Leonard Bernstein, this is my grandparents' generation, you know, and that my grandmother who you met, back in the 50s and the 60s, they were partying with the elegant elite. You know what I mean? Like, it's a looking at these parties and these things that were happening there and the intellectual conversations and all that stuff was like, oh, I haven't seen this world. And then to combine that with the sexuality of, you know, Leonard Bernstein's sexuality and what exactly is his relationship with Felicia and how is it operating where it's sort of understood, but maybe not spoken about and accepted, and that their love and their passion for each other is amazing. But the pain in it of this relationship was just so profound. Like all that stuff is working great as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And I think that's why I get so upset about the gaps in their relationship when the transitions happen, because when we last left, she seemed to be totally fine with his dalliances. She seemed to be okay with it. When we get to middle age, there's this anger and resentment and bitterness at the whole thing. And I'm like, what led to that? Let's see that. Let's see just one scene. Give me one or two scenes where you felt that, where you could see her changing. You could see it affecting her. You could see her struggling with it. I would have loved that. And then then near the end, you know, when they have another transition, falling back in love with each other, show me that moment. Show me that scene. Show me a couple of things, because I really wanted to invest even more deeply into this relationship. But we should move on to focus on other things like the direction here. I think Bradley Cooper is one of the best directors working today, and no one can talk me out of that. I really enjoyed what he did with A Star Is Born. I like what he did here. Some people have said, well, the first half is better than the second half. Other people have said that the second half is better than the first half. But to me, I kind of enjoyed both halves for what they did. It's a mixture of a play and a musical and a movie. It's all mixed in together. And I liked that approach here. And especially in the first hour, the black and white approach, the way we're moving the camera above from God's eye view inside to the theater. And then we're seeing him on the sidelines watching this happen. He's dancing with her through with the guys from on the town doing all of this. So I thought there was a lot of genius intention, intentional genius rather, from Bradley Cooper and how he directed this movie. And then when we get to the 70s, some of the angles, some of the shots that he's using to convey a 70s kind of vibe, more than just the costumes and the outfits and all of that and the set pieces, which were great. It was the way he's using the camera to put your mindset into that era and then later in the 80s. So there was so much about his direction that I thought was stellar and fantastic in how the camera was moving. Steve, you're a director. What did you think of Bradley's direction in the film?
So it's funny, we're doing Raging Bull. We're right in the middle of it for our season of Scorsese. And one of the things we were talking about is the fight scenes, and that most directors, they go, my job is to film this fight scene. And Martin Scorsese felt his job was to film every fight scene in a different way that expressed something different and important. Mm-hmm. And to and he continually challenged himself to make these scenes unique.
Yeah.
That's what Bradley Cooper is doing. Is that, does it always work every single time? I don't think it does. Some of it does, but there is an artistic vision at work who says, I see this way. Like most of filmmaking for, you know, TV or whatever, and low budget things, or my student filmmakers, it's just like, here's this scene and I must document the scene, and I'm going to get a master shot, and I'm going to get a couple over the shoulders and a couple of close-ups and a few inserts, and I'm going to hand them to my editor and they will put together the scene, and there it is.
Yeah.
That is not what this movie is. This movie, like, there's the scene where they have the just incredibly human conversation that's sort of under the arbor, and they're shot and they're in the distance, and she's obviously upset but isn't quite saying it, and he is not quite engaging in it, and they don't quite have the conversation, and the camera never cuts in, it never moves, it stays way far away from them, and we're listening to them at distance. That is a director.
Yeah.
And it's like, that doesn't necessarily mean when you make choices like that, it's more dangerous. You're out on the high wire act. You are saying, I believe that this is going to work. Yeah. You know, Scorsese going, I'm going to shoot this whole thing in one shot and I'm not going to have any cutaways. That means you're saying this has to work.
Yeah.
Same thing is true where they have their big fight in where the parade is going outside.
Oh, yeah.
I love that whole thing, but I'm pretty sure that's all in one shot too.
Yeah.
And so that's like these two actors, one of which is the director, they have to deliver it perfectly, and they really, really do. So in terms of, I want him to keep directing. I mean, it's only a second film, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, second film. I mean, that is impressive. And it's like, do I think everything about the film is perfect? No. Did it quite move me the way I wanted it to move me? No. Did I continue to look in every scene? Like, there's the scene where he meets the couple in the park and one is his old lover, and then they walk down the street, and just them walking together before anything happens is like, deeply moving.
Yes. You know? Yeah. You can feel that for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm with you. I am so excited to see more of Bradley Cooper's work as a director. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and some great cinematography here. Want to give some love, not just to the director, but also cinematographer. Matthew Libatique, I think, did a wonderful job with the cinematography in the movie. Again, taking us through all these numerous decades and lighting it correctly, having the right vibe and feel and style to it. I think all of it working in tandem with Bradley Cooper. Libatique did a wonderful job in this film as well. Is there anything more you want to hit on here? And of course, it's all music by Leonard Bernstein. Are there any scenes, any moments other than that you haven't already mentioned that you want to give a little bit of special extra attention to, or any other criticisms of the film here before we wrap up our recap or review of Maestro here?
Well, certainly the one thing that had come out early about his nose and all that stuff, I think we can dismiss. No, I don't want to talk about it. We dismissed it entirely because it was dumb.
Yes.
We talked about it on a Cinephile short, and I think that's all the credence we need to give to it, because to say the idea of someone going that this is not a respectful portrayal of this person that wasn't done with great passion and love, I mean, that's, you know, that's what it is. I think that I would say if there's just more I wanted to see. I think that's kind of the place that I'm at, is I'm like, and you know what it is that you've got the subtle knob that you're playing with as a director. And so you can have people just come out and say exactly what's going on, or you can have it really, really, really subtle. And there were lots of places. And I think you pointed out the biggest one is the evolution of Felicia and her feelings about this relationship. Yeah. That's where it was a little too subtle. I know he's having affairs with all these younger men and stuff like that. I understand that's going on, but exactly where he is and how he is feeling. It's really funny. In the big fight, she said, because I rewatched it this morning, she goes, says that he pretends to be motivated by love for everything. He has this open heart, but in fact, he's motivated by anger and hate.
Hate in your heart and anger. For so many things, it's hard to count. That's what drives you. Deep, deep anger drives you.
And I went, wow, what a thing to say. Amazing. But then I went, is he? I don't know that I understand. I don't know that I saw that.
Yeah.
And so like, this is where I go like, the scene is great. The stuff is great. And it's like, there's just this little extra, but maybe 5 years from now, I watch this movie again and go, oh, it's all here. I just didn't understand it all yet. You know,
I don't know, maybe, but I feel like since we're both on the same page, I think that's the odds are kind of slim for that happening because I think we'd notice that it was there. I think we'd absolutely pick up on it if it was there. And look, it's a 2-hour and 10-minute movie. So, and nowadays people get so upset about longer films, but I think an extra 20 minutes exploring a little bit more of this relationship would have fleshed this film out even more and made it a stronger film. And again, I'm surprised by it because he really nailed it with the Star Is Born, with the relationship that he has with Lady Gaga. There are two characters in that movie. It is really solidified. You feel every change in that relationship. You are on both sides of their relationship. And then when the thing that happens at the end happens, you feel that because you've fallen in love with both of them. You've cared for both of them because you've seen each one through the other's eyes. And if there's anything I would ask Bradley to do is focus on that a little bit more on for his next film, if it's going to have any kind of romance into it, to make sure we fall in love with these characters as much as they're in love with each other overall. But I do appreciate the gutsiness of showing this relationship, showing the very honest dalliances that he was having with homosexual men and in being a bisexual guy and exploring all of that. I admired the gutsiness and of that overall and how they show that. In fact, I would have even wanted more. Like, let's find one person other than, they introduced us to Matthew Bomer, but let's see what their relationship is like. Let's spend some time with their relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Right? I agree.
Yeah. But yeah.
It's funny though, because I looked again at what all the nominations are, and while I don't think it has a chance of winning Best Picture, and I wouldn't think in any year it should win Best Picture.
Right.
But if I look at all the others, which are actor, actress, original screenplay, cinematography, makeup and hair, and sound.
Yeah.
In just putting aside what the competition is, it is worthy of winning all those awards. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, what I mean is Bradley Cooper's performance a best actor in a different year, a best actor worthy performance? Yeah.
Yeah. So
there are a bunch of years where it would be. Sure. Her performance, without question, and maybe should this year.
I wish.
It's a beautifully written screenplay. The cinematography is great. The makeup and hair is fantastic, particularly as they age them. And I think the sound is great. So it's like, this is what I mean. Like, we have a little bit of an embarrassment of riches this year, where these are all really good, talented people that worked really hard and made great stuff.
Yeah.
Although it's very possible, I think, that I don't think it wins anything. That's kind of my prediction.
With a juggernaut like Oppenheimer, I just don't see that it'll squeeze any of these categories or squeeze an award out of any of these categories, because Oppenheimer is nominated, I think, in every one of these categories except for makeup, I think. And it might win for makeup. Maybe that might be its shot there because of the nose and what have you, which would be incredible irony that would be the reason why it would win, because that was so realistic. And no point was I focused on the nose. As you said earlier, Steve, it just seemed very realistic and it was part of
the movie. It was great.
No point did it stand out.
I would give makeup to Poor Things before I would give it to this. Because Poor Things is crazy. Yes. That'll be an interesting conversation when we get to that
We get to it for sure. So that's it. That's our just quick recap and review of Maestro and our thoughts on it heading into the Oscars. Obviously, we'll be doing these one a day. So we'll be going past the Oscars ceremony. But we definitely want to do all 10 of these movies and talk about them, because this is the Cinephiles. And this is what we do, is talk about good to great movies here on the channel. So, Steve, any final words? And please let people know where they can find you and everything going on.
They can find me at SR Morris. They can tune into we're doing so many things right now. Season of Scorsese. We're in the middle of Raging Bull.
Yeah.
We got great things happening at patreon.com/thecinephiles, where we're doing a watch along to the not exactly sequel to Goodfellas, but My Blue Heaven, which is also about Henry Hill. We're going to be doing that next week, yeah. I think. We got Shogun reviews that we're doing on the Outlaw Nation page. Yeah. We've got Raging Bull coming along. So there's a lot of stuff there. And I think that's it. I think I said all the stuff.
Yeah, and shorts for our patrons as well. We're doing all kinds of things that we got going on here. We just enjoy talking about movies and talking about stuff going on in the world. So thank you all so much for joining us. Look for the next 9 episodes coming once a day here from us here on the Cinephiles. And until then, for my partner, Steve Morris, I am the Outlaw, John Rocha. Y'all take care of yourselves. Be well and enjoy the ceremony. And we'll talk to you next time for another one of these recap and reviews here on the Cinephiles.